Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'll be back in just a minute with Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy as we talk about the Illini's disappointing last 8 minutes in a loss against Michigan State up at the Breslin Center.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley. I've got Brad Sturdy, who was up in East Lansing, who got to see, 32 minutes of good basketball. And we've got Kedrick Prince, who also watched the game. Brad, boy, that was a tough close to the game. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to execution. You have to execute at the end, and they didn't, you know, whether it was offensively, defensively, and those are things you have to do, whether it's making a good crisp pass, maybe it's making an open shot, it's finishing at the rim, and it's all those things, and making free throws. They had every opportunity to win that game. They're up 8 points. Harmon missed a wide open three to put them up 11 with somewhere around six something left in the game. And then he misses it, and I'm not picking on him, but, you know, Goody had one to, when they were up six, put them up nine. And then, you know, they had wide open shots. You got to make those if you're going to win a game on the road in the Big Ten. And that's, it's just, you have to do a better job of that. Now, I do think, I don't like, you know, sometimes they rely so much on their offense that I think sometimes they forget they have to guard as well.
Yeah.
And it worked a lot of times because they're so good offensively. They're so good at that. It's just it's just one of those things where you have to, you know, you have to execute defensively and offensively. The one thing I didn't like, you know, I thought Goody on Hall is obviously a bad matchup, and they just kept, you know, and there were times earlier in the game he did a good job preventing him from getting the ball, and I thought that's when he was good. But at the same time, once you see it happen once or twice, it's almost one of those things where you think, hey, maybe we should make a change here and do something different. And if it means that I put Coleman on him and I run, you know, Gary A. in, or I put Goody on their guy who doesn't, their big man who doesn't, you know, do anything offensively, you know, or you just rotate him whenever the guy comes inside, you can always change. But I just feel like they didn't change up defensively enough on the on the bigs. And you know, they did a pretty good job on the guards for the most part of making things hard for them. But they did not do a good job on the bigs, on Hall especially. They just let him kind of go. And not only did they let him go, he didn't just get baskets. He got and one. You know, I thought it's obviously tough to win on the road, but you know, this was another game, much like Northwestern, where I felt like Illinois lost the game, a game that they really had a great chance of winning. And then I think if they had done, you know, if they had done a good, played well, I think they, you know, down the stretch, I think they win this game on the road and they'd have a chance at a Big Ten title. Now you're in a situation where you really don't, you're not winning the Big Ten. So now it's just a matter of, you know, NCAA seeding and trying to, you know, figure that part out.
Yeah, right now I agree, but it's about seeding right now because you lost an opportunity today, you know, a big opportunity, you know, not just the Big Ten, but Wisconsin is reeling and you had a chance to separate yourselves between, you know, yourselves and Wisconsin. And I mean, I know a lot of people are frustrated because, you know, the game was right there. You're up by six and you only have a chance to go up by 11 and it was there for the taking. You know, on the flip side of it, you know, this was a must win for Michigan State. They had to have this other eggs in one basket today because we know, you know, they're going to have to pull a miracle off to go to Purdue to win. So this was a game they had to win and have. And on a neutral court, I think Illinois beats Michigan State by 12 points today. They're just a better team, you know. Officials didn't cost them the game, but they were brutal today. I didn't think they were – I think the technical fouls, I think there was a foul that Coleman Hawkins got that was a gift back home in Michigan State. It was just a tough game to officiate, I guess, because I think the officials knew what was at stake for both teams. On the other side of it as well, Tom Izzo was going to get those calls, but I do think Brad is a lot more vocal, you know, than what he has been. He fought for the team. From an X's and O's standpoint, I think it was a chess match. I think Tom Izzo really wanted to exploit Quincy Guerriere and Luke Goody. I think every time they went in, whoever was guarding them, they attacked them. That's why both of those guys were in foul trouble. In foul trouble because he attacked him. But then Brad Underwood did the same thing. For some reason, Tom Izzo felt putting a smaller 5'10" or 6-foot guard on Coleman Hawkins was going to work, but it didn't work. So the chess match was great. It was good, you know, X's and O's on both sides, I guess. But I would like to see, if there was one thing from a coaching standpoint, Ty Rogers would have been in the game at the end instead of Luke, only because Ty shoots his free throws is probably just as good as Luke. Luke's only a 62-65% free throw shooter. We all know he's a much better defender than Luke, and that's not a knock against Luke. He would have been the guy of the game because they attacked him every chance they got.
Well, and I'll tell you what, one thing I did discover today, there's one human being on the planet who disagrees with refs more than I do, and that's Tom Izzo. But I really thought the refs were pretty crappy both ways. There was just no consistency. You know, one time you'd get hip tossed and that's not a foul. And the next time somebody going straight up was a foul. I don't know how Big Ten players figure out, particularly that old guy in the gray hair. I don't know how they figure out what these guys are calling.
Michael, good luck. You know what, but Michael, I think part of it is because, and I've said this before, so this is nothing new. So people have asked me, because where I sit at press row, the coaches I can't stand to sit next to, and I'm a Tom Izzo fan, it's him. He complains the entire game. So you're asking him, oh, interrupted you, is because they don't know what to call. Because every time they're on the court, he's expecting a call. He wants this, he wants that. And so it's tough. They can't call a game because, one, they don't want to tee him up. He didn't get one. He probably should have gotten one today, and he didn't get one. So how do you – so what do you do? I mean, I think that as much as I complain about officiating, and I do probably my – I do a fair share more than anyone, I really think there should be some limits to what coaches can do because that's frustrating to have somebody in your ear 40 minutes like that complaining the entire time. So you might not – you don't know what to call.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Brad, the frustrating thing, I guess I thought watching this game, was a couple things came out, I guess, that I was, you know, that I would say that that gives Illinois something to work on. And they've got, you know, 8 games left in the Big Ten. So they've got some time to get some work in. But I really did think that, that, you know, if teams get the right matchup, they're going to go after Luke Goody. They, you know, they got 3 fouls on him in the last, you know, 6 minutes of the game. He just didn't, you know, shoot as well as you'd hope, missing the front end of the one-on-one. The other thing I think that that Michigan State didn't do as much of as I would have was I thought they had success in the first half of putting half-court pressure, you know, against Damask. And then in the second half, there was those two key – I saw your tweet, which was perfect. There were those two really almost unforced errors that Illinois had back-to-back that that really I thought were the – were the killers down the stretch. Will we see more teams trying to throw a little bit more at Domas to, if they have the guards that can pressure him? Now, he's 6'6", so, you know, you got to be careful in how you try to do that. But to me, I guess that that half-court pressure was telling in the first half, and maybe that, you know, played into some tentative play in the second half.
I didn't think they turned the ball over much in the first half. What'd they have?
Yep.
3 turnovers in the first half?
Yep, yep. But they, but I thought they were, I thought there was a lot of pressure out there. With
they scored 41 points and had 3 turnovers. So I don't know that that was a huge issue. They had the one pick. He usually gets picked in the game.
Yep.
You know, it seems like normal. No, here's the thing. There are very few guards that have the physicality that DJ Hogarth has.
Yep.
He can actually have the size and physicality to guard Marcus Damask like that. And, you know, so I don't know that most teams are going to be able to do that. The one thing about pressure is that when you beat pressure, then you're giving up wide open shots. And that's why it's difficult to beat pressure. I mean, when teams try pressure, usually, it's, you know, they can go by. And if Damask gets you on his hip, you're done. And that's where he's able to do some really good things, get downhill. I thought the biggest issue for Illinois was on the defense, man. I thought offensively, you know, it's a turnover slate, but they're trying to run isolation plays, and they ran it almost the entire second half. It's very successful for the most part, you know, until that end. But then it was just making that entry pass. That's where guys got to know, you know, situations. Like, it's got to be a quick entry. I think it was more about Illinois than it was Michigan State, you know, pressure or defense. So I think this is one of those things where Illinois has to just execute. I think they make a lot of, you know, soft passes. I think they play a little soft on defense at times. They're not physical. And I think that's what you see. They're just a highly skilled team overall. And that's where they, you know, they do. That's why they're good. Now, Ken made a good point about Ty Rogers. I really think Ty Rogers needs to be in the game more in the second half. I know they're worried about offense, but when you can't get a stop, and that's also because, you know, I think we just found Quincy Guerrier on the back of a film card. So as we're trying to find out where he is defensively, you know, this was a guy who was playing great defense, and now he went in the game to play defense there at the end, and it was like he wasn't there. He immediately gave up an and-one. So I don't know what's happened to him, but when he's out, I think that's where you move Ty Rogers to the power forward spot. You still have four guys. And you allow him to, you know, still, yeah, you're going to have a matchup, whatever, he can't shoot, but in that dunker spot, and I thought Ty, you know, his dunk that he missed, the guy went up through the rim to block, and so it should have been a goaltending. And so those are the kind of things that I guess, you know, I think that they need to use him in more, because I think also you put another guy who can handle the ball out there. You put another guy who can. You basically have a pressure release at all times. You were talking about pressure, but Ty Rogers, boy, they don't guard him, so you can just throw the ball to him.
Exactly.
Every time. I mean, you always have that pressure release, and it makes it really easy. And so, I don't know. I feel like he deserves more minutes down the stretch. I think he only played 2 minutes in the last 13, and I think that really is something that really limits what Illinois can do moving forward. And we can say free throws, we can say this and that, whatever it is, but eventually you got to get stops. And, you know, it's always interesting to see mindset. You know, you go back to the Bruce Weber era, that they do with all the defense. You know what I mean? Like, down the stretch, it'd be the five guys you can defend the best. And then offense, be damned if we got an 8-point lead. We just got to keep them from scoring. Now, Brad Underwood's like, well, we're going to run offense. We're going to try and outscore them. We're going to do that. And I don't think Underwood's always like that. I think a couple of years ago, it would have been a different answer, you know? But, you know, it's very intriguing to watch this kind of develop. And we've seen this over and over with Rodgers just not playing in the second half down the stretch. And maybe they take free throws, but like Kendrick says, you know, he loops this run into 1-1 there with a tie game at 72-all. So Ty could have done that as well.
I tell you another concern, guys, for me, and I'm not being negative, because to me, I really think that Marcus Domas has probably been the MVP of this team. I mean, that's only because Terrence has been out. But having said that, I think he needs rest. You look at the last few games, he's had a lot of careless turnovers, and he's been picked a lot. I think when he got picked today, you know, rule of thumb, and this kid's extremely intelligent, you don't cross the ball over in front of people's face, and he's done it a couple times. I don't think he – because he's done a tremendous job of playing the position, which is not his natural position. But I think sometimes he's tired, because I don't know if he came out of the game at all today. I don't know. I mean, I know people are mad about the turnover, but you know what? I can't, because at the end of the day, last Sunday, if he doesn't drive to the basket and get fouled, you don't send that game to overtime and you don't have a chance to beat Nebraska. So I'm not knocking him. I just think you could use Ty at the end of the game, or even if you're going to do anything, give Draymond Gibbs Longhorn an extra 2 minutes a game, because you do that with Coleman Hawkins. They didn't do it today when they put Dane in the game, you know, before the TV timeout to give him a break. I just think he's logged in so to where those turnovers are costly, and it's not because he's not good enough. I just think the kid's worn out. Then you ask him to go out there and play defense. He's a better defender than what people give him credit for as well. So that's a concern for me moving forward. It's not something major, but his turnovers are – and they happen every game just because he's gotten careless with the ball. And I don't know if it's fatigue or maybe it's just, you know, teams are playing better defense. But if it was me, I'd give him a couple blows. There's nothing wrong with playing him 35 minutes or 36 minutes a game. 4 minute break from here, there's not going to hurt him.
Well, and I do like with Brad's point about Rodgers for folks, you know, if somebody wants to dot him and not cover him, that's perfect, because he's the ultimate pressure valve. You can't pressure the Illini offense if you're not going to guard Ty Rodgers outside. And Illinois has proven they know how to get him the ball on the inside. So, you know, he can be a pressure valve, get it back to Domas pretty quick, and then go down to where he is a threat. And, you know, Ty had a good game today. He was 4 for 6 from the field. One of his misses, a guy had his hand in the net. That should be clearly a basket interference. Like I said, the refs didn't lose this game for Illinois. I mean, I thought they made horrible calls throughout, but I could argue as many calls that mystified me for Michigan State as well as Illinois. I just thought it was bad. I've never seen a group of officials who can blow that many whistles and still not be in control of the game. That's a rare thing to do. So maybe that guy can get some sort of officiating award. But the fact of the matter is you go down to the last, you know, 8 minutes of the game, Illinois was 1 for 12. I also thought that they could have got the ball to Terrence Shannon more during the end. I thought, and then from Terrence's standpoint, you know, he doesn't have to shoot a 25-footer. There was one he shot that I thought a little pump fake, and he might have been able to go in and you know, foul, get about three people to foul him, or he gets an easy dunk. So I thought maybe a few more touches for Terrence down the stretch would be good, because I thought today, now granted, his three-point, you know, shot isn't in groove, but I thought today he was actually the closest we've seen to be in the pre-suspension Terrence. Brad?
Yeah, I would agree with that. One thing, I get that. I always say when it goes to Terrence again. So you said they were 1 of 12 down the stretch. Shannon took 6 of those shots and also took 4 free throws. Yep. So that's 8 of their whatever, 15 total, 8 of 14 possessions for Shannon closing fouls. I don't know how much you go to him. I think the idea is to get him on the weak side where then he gets attacked closeout.
Yep.
And so because, you know, he's not as good an isolation player probably as the other. other guys if they didn't have a mismatch as much. But I think they gotta, whatever they play through, I think, teams are gonna take away DeMath down the stretch. And that's what we've seen the last two games. They're gonna make him give it up. And that's kind of what I've noticed is they want to make him give the ball up and don't let him facilitate or score. And I think that's been effective. So the only thing to find a counter, and I thought it was Coleman for a lot of tonight.
Yep.
Because he could mismatch do that. But at the same time, they got to find something else. And my biggest thing right now is Luke Goody is a great guy coming off the bench for 10 to 15 minutes. He's played 23 because Quincy Guerrier is, again, I just lost him out of my milk carton on the side of the road. So I don't know where he went.
Yeah.
But, they run a play out of the halftime to get him a wide open three, and he drains it. And then just, after he just is rebounding the same way he was, he is defending the same way he was, he's not himself. I don't know what the issue is or why, but Illinois is really good when he starts playing well. And, there are certain guys that are going to have, every player has up and down games. But right now, I would say he's in a little bit of a slump. That he's not as effective, and now he just needs to figure out he'll get clicky again, because you can have certain guys have off nights that you might be able to win games at home. We've seen that. Man, it's hard to win on the road when you're top, three, four players. It's really on the struggle.
Yep.
When you look at this team, to me, they're all good players, but the X factor to me is Quincy. And here's why I say, what you're going to get with Coleman. Now, what you're going to get with Terrence Shannon. Now, he's going to get you 20. You know what you're going to get from Marcus. And Brad mentioned the fact of, they're making Luke give the ball up. Think back about 8 or 9, 10 games when Quincy was cutting and all those dunks that he got. For some reason, he's that guy, because as good as he is, I don't want to say, I know he's a part of the scouting report, but he's definitely not at the top. He's effective. You go back to that Tennessee game and how good he was in that game. He was moving with the ball. And we know he can shoot it, but right now he seems like he's not doing that, because what teams are doing, and Izzo did the same thing that Nebraska did. They just held, they shelled like a triangle defense every time he got the basketball. So if Marcus went to the middle, there was help. If he went baseline, there was help. So, but if their backs turn, see, and that's how I think Quincy got out of his, not going to get that from Luke. He's just not going to do that. It's just not his game. That's why I call him the X Factor, and they're going to need him. And also, I'm pleased. I mean, guys, we really think about it level. It's what it is. It's their year. You know what? They got a 7'4" Kofi Coburn in the middle. They're going to probably win the league. But at the end of the day, if you look, take a step back on a neutral court, when you don't have a Tom Izzo on the sideline complaining every 15 or every 3 seconds about a call, this team is really dangerous. They are really good enough to advance in the Sweet 16 or Final 8. I just hope they get the right seed. I hope they don't punish them for losing games like this, because they are the second best team in the Big Ten. It's what it is. I mean, and there's no harm in saying that. I've said from day one, I didn't care if they won it. Give me a good seed in the tournament and see them at least get to the Sweet 16 or Final 8. This team is more than capable of doing that. They do a lot of things well. They typically defend well. I mean, and if you think about it, I know Underwood's not going to be happy giving them 80-something points there, whatever it was they gave up. That's something that they can show up as well. But this team has all the makings of a really good team, and it's not a team that you're just going to walk in and think we're just going to beat Illinois because traditionally that they've been bad.
Yeah. No, I agree. Now, let's to wrap this up, Brad, what concerns, do you have that were maybe raised by today's game? And then, what do you think can be done to alleviate those?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest concern is defense. I mean, they are a really bad defensive team lately. And so if you look in Big Ten play alone, Illinois is still a really good offensive team. But if you take out that early season Rutgers game in the Big Ten, they've been on the struggle with defensively. I mean, they're giving up 1.058 points per possession in the Big Ten play, and which is, they're behind a lot of teams that, if they want to win, they have to, they're relying on offense almost exclusively. And since they're not even in the top 100 nationally over the past 6 weeks, defensively.
Okay.
So, you know, and they're top five offensively. So that tells you that they're scoring. And people can say, I don't like the ISO ball, I don't like this. They're scoring points. The problem is they aren't getting enough stuff. And that's a concern because they've tried different methods. They played a little zone today. They've tried drop coverage. They've tried switching. They've tried different things. They've even, played like a really low drop. I mean, like completely soft drop. They've gone under screens. They've gone over screens. They've gone through screens. They've gone I don't know what they've played post up 1-on-1. They've double post. They've done all. It regardless of what they do, it's bad. I mean, it's really a struggle. And they have to get better defensively because you can't advance. Eventually, you're going to get a team to score. And everybody has these, you know, you're going to play somebody in the tournament, some mid-major, who's going to have guards that can go. And if they don't get better defensively, they're going to lose when they get to the end. They got to figure it out.
Kid?
My concern is, honestly, is what I just see. I'm not worried about anybody else on the team right now. It's Quincy, because he is that guy, I think, that can put them over the hump. He is the guy that can help them win a game himself. I think he's capable of putting on his back. Like Brad mentioned, I do think the defense is an issue. But, I mean, they're athletic enough to do it. And kudos to Brad, because I'm going to speak for me. I've been a man. Change it up, and he did that today. Again, tip your hat to Michigan State. You know, like them or not, I mean, they executed down the stretch, and they did a little bit and do down. I want to win to your question. I think, personally, I think it's Quincy. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but he is old enough, and he's good enough, and he's well-rounded enough, and he's one of the best. Now, I will say Michigan State has traditionally been a great rebound. Tom Izzo had his team prepare for that today. Illinois got a couple over-the-back calls today because Michigan State, they probably had one of those practices that we don't know about because they didn't let Illinois dominate the glass like they do either. So, you know, you got to get healthy against Michigan, you know, and the road's not going to get any easier because I'm going to tell you, going to Madison is not going to be easy. Going to Iowa City is not going to be easy. And going to Maryland is not going to be easy. If they want to have any chance of a good seed, they can't lose all those road games. And all the places that I just mentioned, none of those are gimmies. I don't care what you think about Iowa, but they can still score. And if you don't stop them, that could be a death trap as well.
Yeah, and I think that's there's some big opportunities for Illinois to get better. Maybe Quincy just needs like vitamin B12 shots, so he's got some energy with a little baby at home keeping him up all night. Who knows? You know, they're college kids, and hopefully he can find some consistency. I'd certainly, as Brad said, I'd certainly like to see Ty Rogers on the I'd like to see Ty Rogers, you know, on the court more during closing time. But that is my personal bias. I like having the guy to release pressure and he also can do so much because his rebounding intensity is on a scale of 1 to 10, about an 11. And I really thought that's what Illinois didn't match down the stretch. And I think that would have been very helpful to have him out there a little more often. Brad, final thoughts?
It's still just one game. You got to come back and win the next one. I mean, you know, that's the reality in college basketball. You got to have a short memory. Next game is Michigan, went home. Then they got a couple tough roadies at Penn State, Maryland. Like, if you win those. Here's the thing. If you win the next two road games against teams that are inferior, I mean, those are inferior teams compared to Michigan State or Illinois, for that matter. You know, and you go 3-1 in the stretch, you feel pretty good, right? I mean, so now it's just better take care of business and building the resume. You got to take your business at home, and then, you know, win some road games. And they've had an opportunity. One thing about this team is they've been an opportunity to win every game. Because there has not been a game that they haven't had an opportunity to win in the final minute. So they've won some, they've lost some, and you know, you're going to have your blowout wins. They've had maybe a few more, and maybe that's how they've kind of been successful. That's why they've got a good Pomeroy rating, net rating, and that. But now it's just a matter of they got to get better at closing on the defensive end.
what Brad always talked, Underwood has always talked about holding teams to under 40% shooting on the road. That's his recipe and key for winning on the road. I don't know, Mike, what Michigan State shot from the field today, but I can guarantee it was above 40%. So if they're going to win on the road, because you can't, I mean, let's face it, Maryland's a team that. Okay, oh my gosh, that's embarrassing. Okay, that's awful. 53 is like 3 points. I mean, like a free throw percentage for a lot of guys. So, have you know, they, like I said, they typically struggle with teams like Maryland. You can separate themselves to be in the upper half and one of the top 15 teams in the country. You got to go 3-1, and you got to get the monkey off your back with Maryland. Maryland's not a better team than you. And it's gut check time because you're fighting for second place. Second place looks a lot better than third and fourth in the Big Ten because Purdue's going to probably be, when the season's over, I think the number one overall seed, because I don't know who's going to beat them. Again, Illinois has a good shot at home, but other than that, I don't see anybody else beating them. So recipe right now, you need to get the win against Michigan at home. I mean, it's gut check time on the road. It's, you know, everybody, every coach is involved, every out-of-bounds play, it all matters because this is your year. I've said it since, you know, beginning of the year. This is their year to turn the corner. This is their year to do some things because this is a fun team. It's a talented team. I would hate to see it go to waste like the year they were the number one seed and then they were about Loyola. I don't want to see that happen to this team.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And, you know, the other thing, I guess, as I wrap up, I will say on Twitter, and of course, Twitter is just a small sliver, you know, I think 20% of people have it. And then there's a small sliver of Illini fans that I think are just amazing because they don't post anything when the team wins three games in a row. But when they lose one, all of a sudden the players suck, the coach sucks, the, you know, the texture of their uniform sucks. You know, everything sucks. So I think that is a very strange dynamic that the Illini Nation has, is this sliver of crazy people who don't seem to bother to enjoy the wins, but yet when something rough happens, they end up coming out in droves to talk about how bad it is. But maybe, I don't know, maybe that's every fan base, but it does seem, as somebody who Brad and I get to cover the whole Big Ten, you know, I don't see it as much from other fan bases, but there's a sliver of crazy. The frustration I have is I never expect a win going into Breslin until Tom Izzo is no longer the coach. So I don't put this down as a horrible loss, even though it the way it happened was not good. But I do think that Illinois had a golden opportunity to get a quad one win. They had a golden opportunity to really put themselves, you know, one game behind Purdue and have a, you know, get it down to a two dog race. And unfortunately that golden opportunity didn't happen, but that's what, you know, that's what they go to practice for. And hopefully they can get some of these things ironed out because this team, if they get the defense fixed and Brad has talked about this, you know, if they get the defense fixed, this team can play with anybody because offensively it's hard to match them bucket for bucket. So I think in the end, I think that, you know, is what we are all looking for from this Illini team, is that ability to close it out at the end. And, you know, that's a skill set, but they do need to develop it because the games that they've lost, they've had opportunities down the stretch and have not been able to turn those opportunities into reality a few different times. And that's where you want to make your improvement. So just for folks who are looking at the schedule, you know, the Illini, it doesn't get, you know, much easier, although a game at Breslin would fall as across the college basketball landscape as one of the tougher ones. But on Tuesday night, that's February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day, Illinois plays Michigan at 6 p.m., and folks, if you want to watch that game, you're going to need to get Peacock. So that will be something that some fans will be frustrated by. And of course, we will have a podcast right after the game with that. And of course, you'll also have on Saturday, they will wrap up the week playing Maryland next week. And we'll, of course, be there for that as well. If you want, you've listened to this, you enjoy it, you can also get the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular as we talk about everything Illini going on there, or you can check out Big Sports Radio for Big Ten news as well. For Kedrick Prince, Brad Sturdy, and me, Mike Kegley, I'd like to say thank you for listening, and go Illini.